welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks have fallen in the darkness. The Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been looking at the dark world of the mega church. We've been looking at the dark world of the mega church. And let me say again, not all the mega churches are bad. Like I said earlier on the other tape, that you got good doctors and bad doctors, good dentists and bad dentists, and you got good preachers and bad ones. Yeah, good teachers, school teachers, and good and bad school teachers. And so you got good and bad. You got good and bad, whether it's a big school or whether it's a lit school. People. Wherever you go, people, wherever you go. And we've been looking at just a handful of mega churches. And let me say this too. Not all churches are mega churches. And don't think that the average church is a mega church. See, when you talk about a mega church, you're talking about over 2,000 people. Actually, I really think a mega church, you know, when you start getting into 4,000 and 5,000 people, because you've had thousands and 2,000 people churches, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, but you didn't have that television. See, television make you think that every church out there, the churches out there, average church out there, is a mega church. No. Let me tell you something. The average. Are you listening to me? The average church is about 60 members. Did you hear what I say? The average church is about 60 members. In other words, the average church don't even have 100 people to show up on Sunday morning. If your church is over 100, then you are considered to have a big church. Yeah. I'll never forget some of the Gideons that, they go around and they pass out Bibles and things like that. They came to our church one Sunday and, you know, to make their report, because we always, you know, give a little something to the Gideon to help them on their mission to, you know, purchase some more Bibles that they can pass out, these Bibles at these schools. And the guy at that time, you know, he asked how many people come to our church. Well, at that time, we was running about 350, sometime 400. And that's what I told him. He says, young man, I want you to know, you ought to be proud of this church, he said, because you got one of the largest churches in Irving. He says, you got one of the largest churches in Irving, Texas. He said, we go to all these churches in Irving, and most of these churches in Irving, they don't even have 100 people. And that's right. That's right. The average church is about 60 people. So our church, even though, you know, since the pandemic is over with, we're running almost half of what we, you know, we're running about 60%. We're running about 60% because we normally run about 200 people now. But that's more than average. That's That's far more than average. That's 3-4 times almost the average church. And so thank God for it. But we've been looking at this dark world of the mega church. So get close to your radio and listen as we talk about this mega church.
Miracle Crusades. And just as she's about to...
Okay, he's talking about Benny Hinn and how Benny Hinn have these people out there working the audience. When people get ready to get on stage, he select various people that comes up on stage. And those that really, really, really have disabilities and that's really, really, really crippled, he don't allow them to come on stage. And that's what he's talking about now. So let me bag this up just a little bit, and then you can hear the rest of the story here. All right.
In 2005, an episode that was specifically investigating Hinn's ministry.
If you could have a miracle, what would you want it to be?
Thank you.
Just walk. Is that what you want, Grace? Just to walk.
Just to walk.
Grace's mother brings her daughter to one of Hinn's miracle crusades, and just as she's about to go to the stage, she's intercepted by what are called screeners, who tell her to step aside. According to that documentary and an insider, the job of the screeners is to screen out the people that are severely sick and ill. There's the story of Justin Peters, who is an evangelist himself and was born with cerebral palsy. During the Fifth Estate's investigation into Hinn's ministry, they attempt to get Peters to go on stage as well, and just like Grace, he is also intercepted by the screeners.
Our hidden camera shows Justin being stopped by a screener. Watch as Henry Hinn whispers something to her. Then Justin is told to step aside.
In another documentary from 2001, HBO were given full access to Hinn's events and were even allowed to follow several cases of supposed miracle healings. These are people that actually managed to get onto the stage and claim they'd been healed. In one instance, the crew follows a boy called Ashneel and his parents as they're desperate to have their child healed by one of Hinn's miracles.
We're expecting a miracle. We're expecting a miracle.
The Prakash family are recent immigrants to America. 10-year-old Ashneel is their younger son. Two massive brain tumors have reduced him to a vegetative state.
We believe in God. We have faith. And there's nothing impossible for God.
Later in the documentary, Ashneel's parents actually attend the crusade, and they're brought on stage to have their child healed by Hinn himself. Hinn gets the crowd to raise their hands, and then he places his hands on Ashneel's face and says,
"Expect the miracle. Dear Jesus, the Lord's gonna touch you, young boy."
Days after the event, and Ashneel still wasn't healed.
It didn't happen. I was not even discouraged. I know it's God's plan.
You know, I can stake my life on Pastor Benny Hinn's words. And God spoke to me last night at the Colosseum Center where the crusade was going on, and he said, donate him another $2,000, and which I'm going to do it. I'm going to do that.
Recently, I watched an event from Kenneth Copeland's Eagle Mountain Church, right? It's called Miracles on a Mountain. It's another miracle healing service. And in this instance, it was hosted by this evangelist called Billy Burke. And at one point, someone is brought out from the crowd. And I thought, hang on, I recognize this guy. It was Big Nick, who, for those of you that don't know, was an ex-member of the popular social media group, The Vlog Squad, which is headed by David Dobrik. At the event, Nick tells Billy Burke about his blind eye.
I'm blind in my left eye as well.
I know that, you told me that.
Billy then attempts to cure his eye.
Loosen that!
After all the theatrics, Billy then starts to wiggle his finger around. And then...
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet. And Billy hears that, and he continues like trying to help him. And then when he realizes it doesn't work, he then just tells Nick, recite chapters of the Bible every night for your eye to be cured.
So John chapter 9, your confession starting tonight and every night. You hear me? Tonight and every night before you go to bed. You ready? I was blind and now I see.
I was blind and now I see.
I was
And the crowd cheers. It's like the miracle actually happened. It's been about 7 months since that event took place, and I've looked through Big Nick's social media account, and there's no indication that his eye has healed since the event. So again, what are we witnessing when we see things like this? If we are to believe that these people aren't just actors, which I really don't think that they are, what is actually happening? Consider this. If what we're seeing is really a miracle, why don't these people go to hospitals and heal people there? Why do they need the lights and the cameras and the atmosphere and the theatrics to be able to do what they do? In 2011, Derren Brown ran this TV special program called Miracles for Sale. In this special program, Derren Brown, who is this self-described mentalist and illusionist, takes this ordinary individual called Nathan and attempts to turn him into a faith healer performing miracles in front of an audience. The idea behind the program was to expose the fact that what is happening here are not miracles, that it's just a product of psychology, the power of suggestion and misdirection. Now, some aspects of faith healing are just pure trickery. Right? A good example of this is the infamous leg growing trick. The preacher Todd White is well known for walking around the streets and finding individuals who supposedly have one leg that is shorter than the other. And then miraculously, White will begin to grow out that person's leg right before our very eyes.
Thank you. In Jesus' name, left leg, I command you grow. Right now, in Jesus' name.
Derren Brown teaches Nathan to do this exact trick because it's not a miracle. The leg growing trick is infamously used by charlatans throughout history. In fact, a quick Google or YouTube search will demonstrate how it can be done in several ways. One of which involves shifting the other person's shoes to make it seem as though a leg is being grown. If you speed up the Todd White clip of him performing this miracle and you just play it back and forth, you can literally see what Todd White is doing. But a big part of faith healing isn't just tricks like this. In fact, a lot of it is rooted in a deeper part of who we are as people. By the end of Derren Brown's special, Nathan is able to perform in front of a small audience of believers. And you can see that he too is able to, with just the touch of his hand, bring people to fall back as though they were touched by God themselves. To understand how Nathan, who is an ordinary guy, versus Benny Hinn, who claims to be able to perform miracles, can do what they're doing, you have to understand the power behind what they're creating in their shows. From the very moment it begins, you're joined by a crowd of people, united by a particular cause or belief. There are those in the crowd who are already in pain, who feel as though something is missing in their lives. When they're brought together, there is a sense of oneness, of wholeness, and unity. Just think about how powerful crowds can be and what it's like to be in one, especially when you're all joined by a united cause. You're then brought into this hypnotic, or more specifically, a suggestible and open state.
He wants to heal you because he loves you. You don't have to pay for it. Just ask for it.
The music rises and falls, stirring a wave of experiences and emotions amongst the crowd. Then you begin to create the expectancy for what is about to come.
All things are possible to him that believeth.
You keep the crowd in this heightened, aroused state of mind. And as the crowd is ripened for suggestibility, the faith healer acts almost like a conductor for the orchestra of experiences that people are going through. A leader amongst a crowd of people in a hypnotic, trance-like state is something that you cannot underestimate the psychological effect of. Then the healer begins preaching their message.
But don't look for the healing, look for the healer. Whatsoever ye shall ask, that will I do.
The crowd is full of ecstasy. The joy in the audience is a deep feeling as though you're becoming a new person. You're connecting with that of which is above you. You expect that when the preacher lays their hand on you or shouts,
take it!
You will feel God's touch with it. You've been suggested and primed to believe that that is the case. And in being so connected to the crowd around you, the effects of social conformity are bound to take place. In this trance-like state, you go along with what the preacher's suggestions are. You do what you are expected to do. It's no different to what a stage hypnotist does. You know, the more suggestible you are, the more belief you have, the easier it becomes. And what's even more interesting is that in this heightened state of emotions, of euphoria, of adrenaline, it's very possible to feel symptoms being alleviated. It's possible, even for someone who is in a wheelchair, to momentarily be able to get up and walk around. But what we are really witnessing is just a moment of mind over body. The placebo effect is a well-known phenomenon. It's when a patient's condition changes after receiving a treatment that by no means should have changed their condition. For example, if a patient expects a pill to do something and is told by their doctor that it'll help them, even if that pill is just a sugar pill that doesn't do anything, it is possible for your own brain chemistry to cause effects similar to what medication might have caused. The key word here is expect. Because a placebo effect is mostly theorized to be caused by our expectations around a given treatment, expectations that we derive from culture and society. That's why a placebo that is given as an injection rather than a pill can be more effective. Or when you're given two placebo pills to take every day rather than one, it can also be more effective. Because culturally, we perceive the latter of these treatments to have a bigger effect on us. That belief and expectancy can be so powerful as to have physiological effects on our body. And what more powerful expectation can somebody have than one that invokes their very own belief in a higher spiritual being like God, surrounded by others who share that very belief? What we are seeing is a placebo. This is why you'll never see any miracle healer or somebody that believes in the law of attraction be able to do anything that is beyond a placebo. It's why you'll never see them be able to restore the limb of an amputee.
And as I've watched your healing crusades, am I seeing anything that goes beyond placebo?
I've wondered why sometimes someone comes in and comes out of a wheelchair, walks around, runs around, and hours later, they're back in that wheelchair again.
The problem is, however, that those who attend the event and whose problems and illnesses are not healed at the event or return after the event start to blame themselves, that for some reason, God didn't want to heal them, that they didn't have enough faith. Remember Ashneel from the HBO documentary? 7 weeks after attending Hind's Miracle Crusade,
expect the miracle,
he passed away.
Do you feel in any way that any Hind has let you down?
No.
Did you ever, in some of your worst moments, think that you must have done something wrong in the eyes of God to deserve this?
Yes. I know there's a generational curse. Maybe it originated from me or from my parents, because that curse lasts for 3 or 4 generations.
Who taught you that?
I heard it from Pastor Benny.
It doesn't square with the Bible at all. It's a complete scam. It's utter deception.
Increase your faith, increase your seed, and store up for the future, so that when these tragedies hit on earth, you will be spared.
It is a deception to a degree that I don't think I've seen before. And you have to sit there and look at this all and wonder, surely there's justice to this story, right? Surely somebody takes the fall. Surely there's a happy ending to it. Surely.
Oh, we got an ad here. We'll go ahead and get that ad off in just a minute.
In September of 2019, Benny Hinn comes out with quite the astonishing announcement.
And I'm sorry to say that prosperity has gone a little crazy. I think it's an offense to the Lord. It's an offense to say, give $1,000. I think it's an offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it.
Benny Hinn had decided to leave the prosperity gospel. Hallelujah, right?
One of the best lessons that I could give to people is say, watch what they go back to. Watch what they give up, and watch what they go back to.
Okay, so it's time to give to the Lord's work. It's time to sow seed in the Lord's work, so God can bless you and reward you. Trust me, it's time to give to the Lord's work. Because giving guarantees our financial protection.
The problem is, once you've generated the type of following and business and reputation that Hinn has, changing your ways becomes almost impossible. And more so because I genuinely believe that most of these prosperity preachers, they're not intentionally malicious, they've deceived themselves.
Even till today, I question, is this God or is this just me?
The reality is that most of the preachers that we've mentioned in this video are continuing their operations today. And when they pass, there's going to be a wave of new prosperity preachers ready to take their place. The message is an easy one to spread. It promises you health, wealth, and happiness. It makes you feel good. And what's not to love about that, right? Look at the comment section below, and you're probably not going to be hard-pressed to find someone defending Hinn or Copeland or the prosperity theology overall. You'll probably find people claiming that they have seen miracles happen, or that by sowing their seed, prosperity really was given to them. And I'm not delivering any new message here. You know, prosperity theology receives a lot of criticism inside of Christianity and outside.
Hey man, you know you're a piece of shit, right? You know, right? Right? Come on.
Yeah, they'll still get away with their teachings because their message isn't for people who are cynical. It's really difficult to stop their more deceptive actions. The only thing you can do is go to those that believe in it and steer them away. And until that happens, the booming business of prosperity theology and faith healing will continue to flourish.
I don't know what you feel about the prosperity gospel, the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, but I'll tell you what I feel about it. Hatred. It is not the gospel. And it's being exported from this country to Africa and Asia, selling a bill of goods to the poorest of the poor. Believe this message. Your pigs won't die. Your wife won't have miscarriages. You have rings on your fingers and coats on your back. That's coming out of America.
John Piper is just one of the many preachers and ministries that actively try and combat the prosperity gospel. And although Texas is home to some of the biggest megachurches, it's also home to the Trinity Foundation, a leading watchdog ministry founded by Ole Anthony that carries out investigations into some of the conducts of the biggest televangelists.
It was Ole Anthony, founder of the East Dallas Homeless Ministry Trinity Foundation, who masterminded the investigation and helped expose some of the top televangelists in the country.
You know, faith and religion are powerful things. Seeing the sense of hope that it can fill a person with, or the community and the purpose that it can inspire towards good causes. I don't think anyone can look at those things on their own and say they're bad. A few months ago, I had burnt out from working. And when that happened, I felt very cynical about everything that I was doing. You know, what was the point? And what helped was having a sense of hope that those feelings would come to pass and finding purpose in what I was doing and spending time with my friends and family. Hope, purpose, and community. But hope, purpose, and community can be exploited. It can cloud your better judgment just because somebody dresses the part or sounds the part and invokes the word God. If you're somebody watching this that is a believer in the prosperity gospel, I invite you to think over and really question, could I be wrong? A healthy skepticism, I think, only motivates someone to find the truth, not drift further away from it. Seek, and perhaps you will find. If you think the world of prosperity preachers and megachurches is crazy, then my friends, you have to check out my documentary on New Age gurus. It should be shown somewhere on the screen. That is arguably where all of this kind of began to form and originate, and it is just a whole other rabbit hole in and of itself. But either way, my friends, it is great to be back. As always, hand to head, salute.
All right, all right. And that's Brother James, and he's talking about the dark world of the mega church. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us, listening to us all day long, because we're in the corner right here on Ghostbusters.